It's a Ponzi scheme, and all Ponzi schemes must have new capital continually coming in. But if there's no collateral to borrow against, how does that new capital come in? The answer is the sovereign treasuries have blown up their balance sheets. The difference between today and 2008 is back in 2008, central banks and sovereign treasuries had the ability to lever up. And that's what they did. They didn't fix anything. They doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down. Nothing was fixed. Now the problem is much, much bigger than it was in 2008, but it's the same problem.
Microplastics are everywhere. It's everywhere we breathe. It's our food. It's our water. It's infiltrating every part of our lives. Scientists estimate we are consuming a credit card's worth every single week. One study found plastic particles in 100% of human lung samples. Basically, nobody is safe from exposure. It gets worse. These plastics don't just sit in your body, they cross the gut lining, leach into your blood, and disrupt everything. They've been shown to alter gut bacteria, suppress your immune response, and increase your risk for neurodegenerative disease, metabolic disorders, and cancer. Some plastic toxins like BPA mimic hormones, interfere with fertility, and damage your DNA. Even if you eat clean or avoid packaged foods, you're still being exposed. You can't opt out, but your gut can help you fight back. Kimchi One from Brightcore Nutrition is a potent ally in this toxic world. It's packed with over 900 probiotic strands unique to kimchi and proven to break down BPA, helping you detox from the inside out. It doesn't just support digestion, it helps protect your cells, your brain, your hormones, and your future. Your body was never designed to handle plastic, but your gut was designed to protect you. You just have to give it the right tools. Right now, you can get 25% off with my code Sarah at the link below. For even a better deal, call my friends at Brightcore and get up to 50% off and free shipping. That number is 888-495-8092. Great health starts in the gut, and we have to get these microplastics out of our body. And I recommend you try this today. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Bill Holter joining me for the Friday Night Economic Review. I was supposed to have Andy, and he's out skiing in Colorado. And like, Andy, he goes, oh, I didn't. So we got Bill, but Bill is amazing. I called up Bill and I said, Bill, I need you on. And he came on. He's great. He's probably one of the few people out there, the analysts, that have the mind that of the person I really want to talk to. So it's a treat having Bill here. He's an expert. And we're going to talk about what really happened with the silver and gold market this last past week. And the fact that there's a couple Chinese entities and single individuals dumping millions of ounces. What is going on there? It's pretty normal at the beginning of the year for conservative contracts to readjust when something goes up extremely, like silver with silver and gold. Silver went up 177% this past year. They have to readjust because it has to get in line with what their contracts are, especially the conservative ones. But this is beyond that, and he's going to explain what was actually going in. And there was 2 days specifically where it looked like it was a targeted measure to lower the prices, and we're going to discuss that. And I also want to say that this is a pretty sobering conversation. I mean, he's going to make a case that we are in the middle of the reset right now, and that you really need to protect yourself and get prepared. And we're estimating that $7,500 to $15,000 worth of silver is what you need just to eat. And if you buy more, it'll protect yourself. It'll protect your assets, right? I mean, I think that's what's happening. It's really hard for people to get their hands on the supply of silver because there's so much demand. The amount of demand, he's going to go through that too. What is the demand right now? It's crazy. It's crazy numbers. We've been talking about this for years that this is happening. This is going to come. This is going to come. Well, I think we're in it right now. And you better prepare. It's actually kind of good that the numbers are dropped right now. That means it's kind of a good opportunity right now to buy. Again, you need to take responsibility for your own assets. I am not your financial advisor, but that's what I'm doing. So I hope you are taking that seriously. And if you're going to do that, I recommend that you buy for Miles Franklin. I trust them. Bill Holter trusts them. Bill also buys for Miles Franklin, but he can rep you and he can help you. So if you are interested in working with Bill, you can go to his website at BillHolter.com. So remember, buy from somebody you trust. I've had hundreds of people come in who have been scammed. Don't be scammed, especially in times like this. And if you believe you've been scammed, you can go to sarahwestall.com/MilesFranklin, and we are helping people with that as well. Scammed on your IRA. Okay, let's get into my Friday night economic review with Bill Holter. The great Bill Holter is back. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sarah.
We have a little bit of a delay with your satellite, but I think it's going to be okay. You have all this wisdom you're going to share with us. The silver and gold markets, we know that they adjust at the beginning of the year, especially when there's 177% increase. They have to, by contract, balance out what they have in investments. And that is to be expected, but there was a lot more going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, what happened on Friday, and then again, what happened last night, was all done with paper contracts. I mean, this is not physical gold. It's not physical silver being sold. It's being done with contracts. And we've seen this for years and years, but not to the current extent. In China, there's actually six different entities that have been shut down by the exchange for a month because they sold more contracts than they're allowed to sell. Now, in the United States, that happens regularly. You never hear about it, and the regulators do nothing about it. But in China, they've shut these entities down for 6 weeks. I'm sorry, for 4 weeks. And just one entity, and I've got to look, I've got to pull this up on my screen. Just one entity sold 30,000 lots. That amounts to 450 tons. It's 14.5 million ounces. That represents almost 2% of global production. It is 107% of the warehouse stocks in Shanghai. So
wow.
The warehouse stocks are 420 tons, and this guy has sold 450 tons.
What are they doing?
So
I mean,
just
okay.
This,
hold on, just this amount, put it in perspective about how much that equates to how much silver we have in storage, or how much, you know, if that's 2% of the global supply, that is absolutely massive.
Yeah, there's in COMEX, the last number I saw, I think, was 109 million ounces. Last month, 40 million ounces, and a non-delivery month that normally delivers, I don't know, anywhere from 500,000 to 2 million ounces, generally for January and February. January, they delivered about a little over 40 million ounces. And so far in February, just after, 4 days, there's 15 million ounces already standing for delivery.
Wow, after just 4 days. Well, how much did he sell again?
He sold 450 million ounces.
So that's a little less than four times what we have in our... the COMEX has sitting there.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry. No, he sold 14.5 million ounces. It's 450 tons. So, I mean, it's not that outsized compared to the total of COMEX inventories, but
okay.
It is outsized compared to the Shanghai inventories.
Okay,
the
so
point being,
it was still around 14% of the inventories that we would have here, but that would be enough to really affect,
right.
Just one person did. We didn't talk about
that's
all
just
other
right. That's just one group, exactly. To put this in perspective, if you go back to the late 1970s into 1980 with the Hunt brothers, the reason that failed was because they got greedy. What they did was they started buying physical silver. They were stockpiling physical silver. Then they got the bright idea that they could use leverage. They could buy options and have those expire and convert those to metal. And then they started buying futures. And what the exchange did in 1980 is that they said they would accept no buy orders. You could only sell. And what that did, I mean, it blew up the Hunt brothers because they could not meet the margin calls. They had too much leverage. And now you've got traders on the short side in China specifically trying to push the price down. Because think about this, Sarah. Silver was down, call it $12 in about 30 minutes last night. Who sells like that? I mean, if
I
you
know. Well,
have,
yeah, who does sell like that? I mean, let's
well,
talk
if you
about
have
that.
millions of ounces, if you've got millions of ounces to sell, you don't just dump it and get the worst price possible. You trade around what's happening and you sell into some strength. This was absolutely clear that the operation on Friday and the operation again today was a price smashing mission. It was specifically used to knock the price down.
Where is the price right now as of us recording
It's
this?
74, 75,
Okay, it got up to 110, didn't it? What did it get
20,
to? 120.
120, 123, I think was the high.
The high, 123, now it's down. It's just really volatile. So obviously this is it's a great time to buy. Jeez, this is a great time to buy.
Price is artificially depressed, and that you always want to buy when anything is, when any price is artificial, you want to trade against it.
Yeah, this is a great
Now,
time to buy. Go
the
ahead.
question is, do these entities in China, do they actually have the metal to deliver? And I think the answer is clear that the answer is no. So now
Oh,
you've
what does
got
that do then?
six entities that are short and highly likely that a good portion of it is naked short, which means the silver does not exist to deliver.
What happens then? I mean, maybe that's why they shut them down. What happens when that happens?
Well, ultimately, whoever bought the contracts, when if they stand for delivery and they're told no, that's basically a default. It's a force majeure. And that's where COMEX is headed directly toward that. And I think it will be in March because that is a big delivery month.
What do you think will happen then? Then those prices skyrocket, don't they?
Well, prices skyrocket, but that's not the problem. The problem is investors, it gets thrown open for everyone to see, bold-faced fraud, basically. They've sold what they don't have, and if they cannot deliver, then COMEX silver is going to be seen as a fraud, and that will spill over to gold, and that will then spill over to all the other futures markets, most importantly, the paper, the credit markets.
Okay,
It's a
so
break of trust.
if the lack of trust happens, what does that do? I mean, I'm just kind of speculating. It's like this is new territory, right? I mean, have we ever
That's
seen
simple.
this?
No, we've not. If there is broad distrust of the US government, of US treasuries, of credit, what happens is then credit starts to choke down. And the entire world runs on credit, whether it be the financial world or the real world, where you go into a grocery store to buy food or you're buying stuff online or you're going to a gas station or whatever. Everything that you do has already had credit involved to create that asset or that widget, whatever. If credit in the real economy starts to shut down, the real economy it'll begin to sputter and it will shut down. I mean, the worst case scenario is you get a complete collapse of the financial system.
Do you think that could happen?
Let me put it this way. I don't believe that it's unlikely at this point. The math just in the COMEX alone doesn't add up. But if you broaden the math and you say, okay, let's look at the entire system. We're at the point now where the US is paying $1.5 trillion a year in debt service. And that's going to go higher every year. How does that work out? How are these investors going to get paid in dollars in the future that have the same purchasing power is when that money was lent and borrowed.
Do you think that's the trigger point to the reset, that they will have the new system come in at that point? And they'll keep it? If
I believe
it's going
to
fail.
Trigger point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe it's the trigger point to, quote, the reset. But I also think it's the trigger point to the great taking. It's all going to happen at the same time.
The great taking. Do you think that everybody with a mortgage is at risk for the great taking? Well, who's at risk for the great taking? Very
simplistic.
It's
not so much. Yeah, it's not so much mortgages. I mean, mortgages are going to be a problem because people won't be able to pay them. But the way the laws read, when you deposit money into a bank, you're no longer a depositor. You're a lender. And legally, you're the most subordinate lender. So you're only going to get crumbs if there are any crumbs. Same thing with brokerage houses.
It's the haircut.
When you deposit, money and buy a stock or a bond or whatever at a broker, that's not in your name. That is legally in the name of the broker.
And so you and think they're going to, go ahead.
These laws started putting these laws on the books in 2014. And across the entire Western world, all of these laws are on the books. The ink is dry, and they're just waiting for the moment.
And so you think that they're going to just take everything? Well, they took gold back in the 2030s, whatever, or 1930s. You think they're just going to take all the assets and use the excuse that without this, the whole system's going to collapse?
Who knows exactly what the excuse is going to be? But yeah, that is, they didn't put these laws on the books to not use them.
Well, that's true. Although they could put it, you know, they could do it in isolation, one piece at a time, and better, but it's so unethical. It's incredible.
No, I don't see that. Sarah, I don't see them doing it.
I'm just
one
throwing
at a time.
That out there.
Yeah, if they did it one at a time, let's say that, just pick a name, Merrill Lynch. Let's say that Merrill Lynch was the first one to go down. And then they cleaned out the Merrill Lynch customers. That's, first off, there would be a run on everything. Who's next? In other
That's
words,
right.
If you see that your neighbor lost theirs at a brokerage house, you're going to want to get yours up. So it creates a run. This is going to happen all at once. It's going to be an entire systemic move at one time. There's no way that they can do it piece by piece.
I know the banks were expected back in, God, I covered it, 2022 under Biden. They had to get all
2023, it was the spring.
No, but I mean, there was requirements that the banks, I was talking to bank executives, that there were requirements that they had to have all their stuff, all their systems connected so they could do a shutdown all at once. I don't remember the exact date when they had that requirement, but it was under Biden and it was about 2 years ago. Yep.
Yeah, that, like I said, not surprising at all.
Yeah, well, so why I said, you know, would they do it in peace? They did it in a bank in North Carolina or South Carolina, Tennessee, one of the eastern states where the bank, and I covered this last year with Andy Scheckman, it was only a $7 million bank. It was a small bank, and they did it with like $7 million worth of deposits, but they all took a 50% haircut. Is that the same law that they're using to do the haircut, or is this on top of it?
No, well, that's part of it. I mean, that's the reason they're able to do that is the money, quote, on deposit is not on deposit.
It's
a
the
loan.
Same thing. Yeah.
So basically, it was a loan write down. Sarah, I do want to say, I just want to talk very broadly for a moment on silver and gold. What we're witnessing now, with the hyper leverage, the hyper volatility, this is the rally that you do not sell. You don't trade this rally. If you want to trade this rally and get cute and think, okay, I'm going to sell it at 100.
I agree.
And I'm going to buy it back when it goes under 70 and it doesn't go under 70 and then it becomes unobtainable, then you're out. You do not trade. You don't trade this rally. This is, I want to call it the final rally before we get some sort of credible currency. There's no credible currency on planet Earth that you could sell your gold, sell your silver, park your money, and have it be safe. There is no safe place once you get out of gold and silver. You got into gold and silver in the first place to get out of the system. You do not want to take a quote profit and put your money back into the system because A, you may very well not be able to get your gold or your silver back. And B, you're back in the system, you're going to be part of the great taking.
Just a quick break from the program. I need to share with you in urgent manner about scam gold IRAs and the important need to make sure that you're working with a trusted company in the precious metal space. I have had hundreds of people come to me now where they have lost 50, 60, 70% of their life savings in these scam gold IRAs. We are having nearly 100% success rate getting their money back. If you have put your life savings into a gold IRA, I implore you to look and see if you have been scammed. Don't trust the company that sold it to you. Make sure you understand what you can get as a buyback value for the gold or silver that you have in your IRA. If you have noticed a significant drop in what you invested, you have more than likely been scammed. We can help you, and there's no shame. Go to sarahwestall.com/milesfranklin, fill out that form, and we will help you get your life savings back. So how much do you think somebody needs in order to be safe into this next round? I mean, to be honest, to be able to get through and live and survive. And I know it's a hard number, but what do you say?
It depends on the individual. It depends on what your expenses are, how you're used to living. It will take less for somebody who's a farmer, a rancher, someone who knows how to hunt and fish. It'll take more for someone who doesn't have those skills. And I would just caution that when this happens, if you live in a city, good luck. There's just too many people. You've got to live rural in order to survive what's coming.
You think it's that bad? You're seeing Planet of the Apes kind of stuff, or not Planet of the Apes, more like Mad Max kind of
Let's
thing.
use the word Mad Max. Yeah, I absolutely see that as certainly a possibility. And it's, I mean, at this point, we're getting to the point where I'm almost ready to say it's a probability just because of the math, the way the system is set up with hyper leverage, there's no collateral left in the world to borrow against. And our fractional reserve system, it's a Ponzi scheme, and all Ponzi schemes must have new capital continually coming in. But if there's no collateral to borrow against, how does that new capital come in? The answer is the sovereign treasuries have blown up their balance sheets. The difference between today and 2008 is back in 2008, central banks and sovereign treasuries had the ability to lever up. And that's what they did. They didn't fix anything. They doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down. Nothing was fixed. Now the problem is much, much bigger than it was in 2008, but it's the same problem.
2008 was an incredible time. It was, those of us who lived through it and remembered it deeply. Did you have a lot of gold and silver, and did you make a lot of money during that period?
Well, actually, in 2008, gold and silver got hit very hard in August, September, in the early part of October. It bottomed, and then silver ran from, I think paper silver got as low as $9. You couldn't buy any physical for less than 15, but then it ran to $50.
Well, no,
And
I got
gold got
physical
down,
for
I think.
10. I got physical for 10 in that period, but go ahead.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you went through the big dealers, I don't think that they marked down. They kept basically $15. Gold bottomed at I think it was $699, and then it ran
Wow.
from that number in 08 to what was it, $1,925 or whatever in 2011. So gold tripled off that bottom. and silver more than, you know, well more than triple.
Well, right now silver is up like seven times from that. But if we look at, but that's not even that big. That just shows you how much the dollar has, you know, inflated and how it's lost its value. Because, right, that should be a stabilizer. And the fact that this is going up at all means the dollar is losing value. And there's a there's a stat came out that
I was so gold and silver don't go up. Nor do they go down.
They're
gold and silver, an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold, an ounce of silver is an ounce of silver. What changes is the currency. And what gold and silver, by running to the levels they had gotten to and even the levels we're at now, what gold and silver are saying is that fiat currency is losing its purchasing power very rapidly.
Okay, well, I would say
I heard
that
you use
this
10%, but that's not the right number.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. But that's what they're at least publicly admitting to. But I would say this is a one time in history now that silver is repositioning itself against gold because of it has a higher value than it did.
It has so many uses. That's one of the reasons. The silver, what is it, the Silver Institute or Silver Council, they really, with their demand numbers, have been really lowballing what's been going into the Green New Deal, into solar panels, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many different uses for silver, and you're looking at, this is now the fifth year of a supply and demand deficit of, I think last year it was 400 million ounces. The world produces 850, 900 million ounces, and the demand was like 1.3 billion.
So, you know, in the past, everybody would look at the people who are trying to sell silver and gold, and they're like, oh, you guys are just paranoid. And what do you think about today? I mean, now you're living your reality, it seems.
Well, I don't know. Some people at heart are just a troll.
No, but what
I mean,
I'm
you
saying
could spell
is,
something out for someone.
What I'm saying is that finally, this is all coming to reality, isn't it? It's like you were seeing it early. It's like you were seeing all the patterns and people, you and others. And, you know, I was talking about it too. But the patterns, and my husband would say, well, you've been talking about this for 10, 15 years. You know, and it's like, well, it is going to happen. And now it's like, well, now it seems like it really is going to happen this year.
Well, it's happening before your eyes.
That's what I mean. Like we're living it now.
Exactly.
And the other it's kind of surreal.
Yeah, the other thing is we're getting more and more pretty good-sized tidbits of truth. I mean, just the Epstein stuff, finding out about the fraud in Minnesota, in Washington State, in Maine. We're starting to find out that we've been living a lie. We've been living in a bullshit world where the information we get is not real.
Well, and then as much as you like Elon Musk or not, that Doge stuff was pretty revealing. The 14 machines just printing currency? I mean, what does that mean? They're just like printing it. So does anything have any meaning?
Speaking of printing, that's the important thing that people need to understand, because we wanted to talk about gold and silver today. When contracts get sold, they can sell as many contracts as they want. CFTC is not going to do anything about it if they go over the limits or way over the limits. As long as they have the margin to sell those contracts, the problem is they can't print silver and they cannot print gold to deliver. That's the problem. They can control price, and you've seen it. They can knock the price down anytime they want, but that is temporary. Because once the buyer of those dumped contracts stands and says, I want my silver, where's the silver? It doesn't exist. They cannot print it. That's the problem.
Yep. So where do you, what do you tell people right now? I know people are scared, and I think fear causes people to make bad decisions. So this can be pretty scary. So fear should get you motivated, but it shouldn't cause, you have to make sure it doesn't make you irrational and make bad decisions.
Yeah, that's the thing about fear. Fear is a greater emotion than greed. And once we get into real fear, you're seeing stock markets drop, the interest rates go up, bonds are dropping, real estate's dropping. People are going to be moving into gold and into silver because they can't default. They're the only monies on the planet that cannot default. They're going to be piling into gold and silver out of fear. And yes, when somebody's fearful, they don't make the normal decisions that they would make. It does alter their thought process, no question about it.
Well, let's say somebody has 100 ounces of silver. Do you think that will get them through the survival mode? I mean, how much do you think a normal person needs to just get through the period?
There's no way to tell.
I know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, 100 ounces, you're talking $7,500. It'll probably work for, I don't know, 6 months or a year's time for a family of four if you're just trying to buy food through farmers.
Yeah, because it's $7,500 amount. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, $7,500 in today's world, spending dollars should feed a family. So if you've got it in silver, you should be able to feed yourself for a year.
So you should, if you want to protect yourself for a family of four, I would say you want to get probably twice that, have like 15,000 worth of silver sitting there to protect yourself. At least that's just for a year of protecting yourself.
My rule of thumb has been, I've told people for years and years, if you have, if you're one person, you need one bag of junk. That's 715 ounces. If you're a couple, you need two bags of junk. And that's going to get you through no matter what happens. And if you have kids, you know, maybe buy one more bag of junk. You're talking about one bag, 715 ounces, but that's, you're going to be able to live on that.
So you're talking like a couple thousand ounces is what people really should have.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And when people ask me, how much should I put into gold and silver? My standard answer now is whatever you don't want to lose. It cannot bankrupt. And if you have it in your possession or in a non-bank private vault, it's out of the system.
So
it
really,
can't be taken in the great taking.
You should have 100 to 200,000. This makes more sense. It's more stable. You should have maybe $100,000 to $200,000 worth of silver in your possession someplace safe.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, if you don't have that much money to buy it with, buy whatever you can. It's not going to default and you're not going to lose it.
It's just the value of money. And most people don't have that much. So it sucks, right? So, but if you look at it as 7,500 will feed you for the year, 15,000, I think is safer. That'll get you by. And then if you really want to be good, you really should. I agree with you. You should have over 100,000. I mean, to be, you know. So,
well,
okay.
Again, Sarah, when I talk to people, they ask me how much. Let's say it's somebody with $1 million. Should I put 5% in, 10%? Should I go with the new, 60-40 or 60-20-20? You know, the new portfolio breakdown. My answer is you put into gold and silver whatever you don't want to lose. If you only put a couple $100,000 or $100,000 on a $1 million portfolio into metal, yeah, you may end up with the same purchasing power as you had before. But with this reset, you're going to increase your purchasing power on silver, on gold, versus the things that are in the system that are going to drop in value, and you have a custodian risk. Or a counterparty risk. Your counterparty is your broker. Your counterparty is your bank. Your counterparty is your insurance company. If they fail, you lost your asset. And that's why I tell people, whatever you want to make sure you do not lose, You put it into gold and silver. It's out of the system and it cannot bankrupt.
From an investment standpoint, I agree with you. So if you have a few million dollars, you really should be thinking about how to protect that. Okay, so what do you, where do people follow you? What do you do? Because I know you do a show, you have a blog. Can you tell people what you do? Because I got to tell you, you know, we have a lot of mutual friends and everybody respects what you do. And you're very highly respected. So I'm just going to throw that out there. So tell people what you do.
Yeah, I had worked for quite a few years with Jim Sinclair, ran his website, and I'm running my website pretty much the same. As the only difference is we had a weekly call, which we've not been doing. But basically, I'll pick out 3, 4, 5 or more articles per day that I think are of interest, and I just basically put comments to the article. And I try to make people think, because a lot of the articles, I'll ask a question. And I ask a question so that people read the question before they read the article. And if they're thinking of that question while they're reading the article, maybe the light bulb comes on. And that's at my website. And it's just BillHolter.com.
And there's a lot. It's like a fire hose right now, right? I mean, we're seeing things move very rapidly.
Yeah, the volume and the speed of information is just unbelievable. Go back 10 years ago. Man, did we not have placid lives or what? Now it's crazy.
I know. It's like too much right now. It is really incredible. Right? But I think, I was thinking about this morning. Like, you know what? If we got rid of all the bots and all the AI, how fast would things really be? I know it'd be faster than what we're used to, but so much of it is faster because of all the artificial stuff too.
Yeah, I agree with that, but you have to understand that the rate and speed of news that's coming out, there's just so many different things that are happening on a daily basis. You go to bed at night, you're thinking about what happened today, and you're wondering, you know, what kind of crazy stuff's going to come out tomorrow? And sure enough, turn your computer on, check the news, whatever, and crazy shit happened again.
It is true. It is true. The Epstein release, just nonstop. Right. But it also shows that there's a power shift going on. I mean, it's because the people who are institutionally in power are losing power, and so they can't. Their containment of the news, the information, they are no longer being able to contain it, and they're losing control of the currencies worldwide. And people aren't trusting, another article I read today is that people aren't trusting government bonds right now. And that's becoming a major issue. Instability.
That's what I talked about before, credit. That's credit.
Yep. But people, when you think about
these
bonds.
The other thing, Sarah, is that we are getting this information just being dumped on a daily basis. But a lot of this information goes back a few years to, guess what? It was a conspiracy fact. It wasn't a theory. A lot of the conspiracy theories, I mean, a lot, I'm going to say, 90%+ of them, conspiracy theory? No, it was conspiracy fact with the news that we're getting now.
That's right. That is right. The other thing that I'm reading is that the commercial real estate is collapsing silently in the background. We talked about this last time that you were on, but it continues to accelerate in the background and nobody's talking about it, because if they talked about it, it would scare the hell out of people. Just like the silver and gold increases, it's not all over Wall Street Journal. They're not talking about it because it would scare the heck out of people.
Well, it very well could cause a bank run. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, I think there's $1.3 trillion of debt on commercial real estate. Who's going to eat those losses? I mean, commercial real estate's already down 50%. So if you take that $1.3 trillion number, and let's say that everybody put 20% down, that means there's $500 billion of losses sitting in the banking system. Who's going to eat that? Who can cover that?
Well, the banks are going to. That's why they say that the banks, the analysts are saying that the risk of the banks collapsing is something like 80-some% of the banks are imminent for collapse. It's that
serious. It's greater
than
it's ever been. The system is weaker than it's ever been.
Yeah. I mean, that's seriously coming out of like Weiss and these other analysts that have been historically very, very accurate and very conservative. And they're saying it. I know.
Yeah, it's a complete blow up.
It's incredible that we're watching this. Well, you know, we've been talking about it, but it's incredible being on the, you know, actually talking about it and witnessing this information, because it's, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just incredible. So where can people follow you? Because you are a must follow.
Just go to my website, BillHolter.com. If you want to contact me regarding precious metals business, there is a contact button on my site, or if you want to go directly to my business email, it's BHOLTER at proton.me.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate you coming on to the show today.